Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Charles Dickens' great story, A Christmas Carol, is 179 years old this year. In that story, we meet Ebenezer Scrooge. I think we're familiar with that story, but I'm going to tell a little bit of it. Scrooge is an accountant and a money lender, and the book opens as he's busy at his desk on Christmas Eve. And the office is freezing cold because Scrooge is a miser. So there's barely a fire in his stove or in the stove of his assistant, Bob Cratchit. Scrooge's nephew stops by to wish his uncle Merry Christmas, and he's greeted with a "Bah, humbug." And later, a couple of men seeking charitable contributions for the poor drop by and get the same, "Bah, humbug." You see, Scrooge believes that Christmas is a humbug, a fraud, just a way to get people to part with their hard-earned cash and give it to the undeserving poor. But that night, the ghost of Jacob Marley, Scrooge's deceased partner, visits the old miser, and while he lived, Marley was every bit as scroogey as Scrooge was. And he appears before Scrooge, weighted down with chains, and he's crying out, "Oh, captive, bound, and double-chained." And a very frightened Scrooge responds, but Jacob, you were always a good man of business." To which the ghost cries, "Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of trade were but a drop in the bucket in the comprehensive ocean of my business." And the ghost holds up his chain at arm's length as if that were the cause of all its grief and flings it to the ground again. "At this time of year, I suffer most. Why did I walk through crowds of fellow beings with my eyes turned down and never raise them to that blessed star which led the wise man to a poor abode? Were there no poor homes to which its light would have led me?" The phantom tells Scrooge that three more ghosts would visit that night. And as soon as the apparition leaves, Scrooge checks the latch on the window. It finds it quite secure. He tries to calm himself by saying "humbug," but he can't get the word out, and goes straight to bed. But by morning, after witnessing himself in the past, present, and future, he has experienced a change of heart, and the story ends with him being generous and happy. On one level, this story serves as a sentimental incentive for us to be generous, especially at Christmas. But if we view it as a commentary about God and what Christmas really is, it couldn't be more off track. The story says this: be a Scrooge in your life and you go to hell, but be kind in your life and you get a heavenly reward. So according to that story, what's Christmas really about? It's about us giving to others. To be sure, there's some vague idea of God's kindness, but Christmas is finally about our spirit of giving. But here's what Paul says in his letter to Titus. We actually heard that in our epistle lesson this morning. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." Paul's talking about Christmas. In his grace, God came, took on flesh, and was born in a stable for us. And Paul goes on to say that it's this grace of God that teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions like greed, while we wait for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. In other words, God's gracious giving long precedes ours. Hearing this makes you want to say, "Do you see it, Ebenezer? God is no Scrooge." In fact, the Bible teaches again and again that if God were a keeper like Scrooge, it would be impossible to come into his presence. Scrooge kept an exact count, an exact record of every halfpenny owed to him. But God keeps no record of our sins because of Jesus. In Christ, the grace, the gift, the forgiveness of God appeared. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And his name is Jesus. And he doesn't try to scare us into being kind so we can climb to heaven. That's Dickens' message. Instead, as Paul says, he gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession. Despite how A Christmas Carol ends, Ebenezer remains a Scrooge. You can fool yourself into thinking that you don't deserve Marley's fate, and Dickens might even help you to believe that you can avoid Marley's fate by being generous, but no matter how hard you try, you can't get rid of your stinginess, self-centeredness, and greed on your own. For even when our hands do the right thing, our minds think the wrong thing. You know, giving is really kind of the best thing that we humans can do. But all the anxiety and concern about not getting what we want, wondering if we got the gift we should have gotten, being angry with those to whom we've given a gift but don't respond with the proper level of thankfulness, all of that just shows that that there's a great deal of Scrooge in all of us. Say, that's a fraud, bah humbug to that, and you're saying bah humbug to God. Because that's the clear message of God's word from start to finish. But our God is no Scrooge. He didn't look on our sorry state and say, bah humbug, forget those sinful frauds. He said, I will go to them and be born to a cross, go to a cross to redeem those Scrooges, to buy them back from their Scrooginess, to make them my own. So what's the true spirit of Christmas? It's the fact that in Jesus, God is no miser. He freely forgives. He gives gifts. He gives grace. He is merciful to every one of us Scrooges. You think that going to church is business a la Scrooge, about keeping track of your good deeds in a ledger? No. This place is really all about God generously giving his gifts of love and grace to you at the font, at the altar, through his word. Now, if you want, you can sit in the dingy, cold accounting office trying to note every good deed in the ledger, ignoring what God has done for you at Christmas by sending you a Savior. But if you do, you're saying, bah humbug, I don't need a Savior. I'm perfectly fine being my own Savior, thank you. And a fate worse than Marley's is in the future. But if by faith you're able to say yes, thank God he is no Scrooge, and trust in the one who's born at Bethlehem to die at Calvary in order to completely erase your account, then you have the real reason to be generous to others, not only at Christmas, but all year round. God says it clearly. Jesus Christ redeemed us from all wickedness and purified for himself what? A people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. God is no Scrooge to you. He proved that in Jesus. And to paraphrase Luther, you can't be getting all those gifts, all those presents from Jesus, and turn around and say to your neighbor in need, bah humbug, take care of yourself. See, God doesn't need your good works, your gifts, but your neighbor certainly does. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What's Christmas all about? God coming to us. God came to us. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is like us in every way, except for sin. The Son of God was made the Son of Man so that we might be made the sons of God and heirs of a heavenly hope. Not because of what we do, but because of his mercy. Jesus becoming one of us is to be our greatest comfort. It means he knows our situation perfectly. We have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weakness. He knows what it is to suffer sorrow, pain, and death. And Jesus becoming flesh for us is an affirmation of who we are right now, even though we're still sinners. Creation is corrupted by sin, to be sure. But in Christ, our sinful nature has been redeemed, and even now in the process of restoration. Jesus' incarnation frees us to enjoy God's creation. You know, we can say bah humbug to others when they say we shouldn't enjoy the good gifts of this world, because God wants us to enjoy them. Jesus is our greatest comfort because he is pure grace, God's gift to us. The Word became flesh, real, earthly, human flesh. And he continues to work our salvation in this way. Christianity isn't a matter of eliciting some feeling, emotion, or experience. The universal fact of Christmas is that God treats each and every one of us equally. None of us deserve it, but God dishes it out freely to any who will receive it. And his will for you and me is, and for everyone, is that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. At Christmas, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Because of Christmas, when your conscience burdens you, when events transpire in your life that seem to tell you that God hates you, you can say, not true, because my God is no Scrooge. My God came, he lived, he died, and rose again for me. And that is certainly no humbug. Amen. Please rise.